No matter where you are or what you're doing, nothing stops you in your tracks than a theme song you grew up with. You're now listening to Catchy with your hosts, Trina, Shelby, and Addie. That's me. Each week, one of us will pick a song we will present to the rest of the hosts to share the fun facts, their lyrics, play games around it, and more. This month's theme is Halloween, and today's orchestra leader is... Trina.
Hello, hello.
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 Let's get my humming skills ready. Are you guys ready to guess what this is?
I am ready. Ready for this.
Do 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 do.
Can I chime in with you?
Yeah, I really wanted to. I was kind of off to the side, like bobbing my head.
It's like the best Saturday cartoon theme song to hear in the morning.
It is. I agree.
And if you haven't guessed, it is Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? Have you guys seen the actual original one?
Yes, a little bit.
You have. Okay. This is one of my favorites growing up. I actually remember eating breakfast in bed and going before going to school and watching the show, but we weren't alive when the original air date happened. So obviously we're seeing reruns, but I actually have, this is why it's my favorite. Well, it is my favorite because I have the box set Mystery Machine of the original series, Scooby-Doo, Where Are You?
Yes, that is impressive.
Yeah, fun fact. This show, I think, has the most adaptations, meaning there's like spinoffs, reboots. They'd made other shows, they'd made other movies. And when I was looking up the stuff, they even have what you call the CBS years, the ABC years, the WB years, and the Cartoon Network and Boomerang years. I mean, this series pretty much holds today, I think.
Did anyone see the latest movie?
Yes. So cute.
It was really cute.
It did, yeah. I thought it was adorable how they did like the backstory a little bit with how Scooby and Shaggy met. It was really sad for a hot second, and then almost wanted to cry.
Yeah, cartoons today or like movies like that today, for some reason, they want to make you cry just a little bit. And then they turn it up with a happy ending. Yeah.
So that one was released this year, right? 2020 mm-hmm. at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
And then before that, was it the one with Freddie Prinze and
like the live action ones? Yeah, I think those were the latest ones prior to that. But all throughout, ever since when this originally aired, I mean, I think they still had new versions on Cartoon Network. It's like called Be Cool Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
And then speaking of Cartoon Network, Boomerang is doing a Scoobtober in honor of Halloween, showing all the different movies and different versions of the show. So if you have that, go check it out for sure.
I prefer Scooptober over Sharknado month or whatever.
Shark
Week.
Yeah, Shark Week. Shark Week, yeah.
Yeah, I can't even get started on sharks. They terrify me. So Scooptober, much better.
I think this is where like our phones listen to us and stuff. I think I was watching Scooby-Doo one morning, and then all of a sudden in my Instagram feed, it was Scooby-Doo toys for the dog. Oh. It was one of the subscription boxes, and I was like, I want this toy for me, not for Chappy. Yeah.
Like BarkBox or something.
Yeah, BarkBox.
Yeah.
All right, well, you guys want to dive in and go back a little bit into the history of the original Scooby-Doo Where Are You series?
Yeah, let's go.
So the original was created by Joe Ruby and Ken Spears, and Joe Ruby actually passed away recently of natural causes back in August. He definitely left a legacy behind with this franchise for sure. And now the show was actually part of Hanna-Barbera Productions. I don't know if you guys ever heard of that, Hanna-Barbera. It's like a whole, think of it as what Marvel is today to superheroes, and they have all these spinoffs. So Hanna-Barbera back then is a production company, and they had all these cartoon shows.
Yeah.
And it was under the Hanna-Barbera umbrella.
Is that their the last names of them? I feel like I noticed that. The last names of the...
It is. Okay. It is. Okay. It is. It's the production company. I think it's Joseph, Hanna, and I forget who Barbera was.
What other shows they do? I'm pretty sure it's like every production. Like once they kick off, they did multiple others.
I want to say that they also did Flintstones and Jetsons. I could be wrong.
I would have guessed those.
Yeah. So along those lines, oh, Captain Caveman. I don't know if you guys heard of him.
No.
But he did all that. Yeah, Captain Caveman. So yeah, they're like, again, like what Marvel is today, or what would be. There were three seasons, and I put air quotes because the first season was 17 episodes, and it aired from September 1969 to January 1970. And then season two had 8 episodes that aired from September 1970 to October 31st, how fitting, Halloween, 1970. Mm. And both of those seasons were on CBS. So the third season did not air until 8 years later in 1978 under ABC. But here's the kicker. They took episodes from later series that they made called Scooby's All-Stars and the Scooby-Doo Show. They took those episodes and put it under the Scooby-Doo Where Are You name and sold it as a third season with the box set.
Oh.
Yeah. Because when I was doing my research, I was like, there's two seasons from 69 to 70. Why is there a jump to 78 like 8 years later? Yeah. That's why they technically have three seasons. All right, quick synopsis on the show. So it's teenagers, Fred, Velma, Daphne, Shaggy, and their dog Scooby solving mysteries involving supernatural creatures, so ghosts, monsters, or whatever, and local legends. And they drive in their van, which is the Mystery Machine, and they just always happen to come across a mystery. And they could be coming from a function or going to a function, but they just happen to come across some kind of mystery to solve. In the end, you find out there's a person underneath the mask, and then you find out the reason why they're spooking everyone in town, which is usually for their own personal gain.
Wow. So deep right there.
Yeah.
Was it always a person in a mask? Or was there ever... Wow, really? So it always ended up with somebody being under disguise. Mm-hmm. It was never just a person who, like, no mask needed.
No, I think they always had to unveil a mask, and I did was rewatching. I wanted to rewatch a little bit of it, and I don't think I remember it being just the person.
Yeah, the ones I did rewatch, I felt like, yeah, it was always a person that was trying to, you know, spook them out of their area or for their, like you said, for their own personal gain. I do remember watching as a child, and I thought, I just, whenever they were on the reruns or whatever, I definitely was super scared, and I didn't understand that they were actual people at the end. I think I still thought they were ghosts regardless. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is so scary. Like, I don't know what, I would like watch it, like just stare blankly at it and be scared the whole time. But good to know now, I can tell my 8-year-old self.
There you go.
Okay.
For that same reason, like I secretly did not want them to reveal who it was in the end. Cause I do like the aspect of, I think this kind of plays to something bigger too. Like, could there just really be just monsters but not human monsters? Like, because in the end they're just showing like, look, this is a human causing this ruckus. There's no supernatural, and it's a person, an actual person that is the cause here. So I secretly like would hate to get to the end, because you kind of know the recipe for the show.
Oh yeah, there's a recipe.
Mm-hmm.
Like to piggyback off that, I think the reason why they made it a person is because they didn't want to scare kids. And
failed on my
yeah record. Failed on you, yeah.
Shelby, you need to go talk to you.
And here's a quick side story I read, and I don't know, I didn't want to dig like really deep into it, but apparently back during that era, there was a group of parents or moms that thought that the Hanna-Barbera productions, like their cartoons that they put out, were too violent and too scary, so they had to comply with what they were doing. This is back way back, you know, 69, 70s. So I was like, wow, that's kind of weird. So I think that's why they always made it a human, so that, you know, it's a person and it's not something supernatural.
I And that's why, I mean, kind of speaking to our previous episode with episode one, I think with these, like, they're fun, but it's all slapstick type humor too. It's very kiddish. Even like the other show, it's human based. It's not a cartoon. That explains it. Like, they had to keep it light.
Definitely. Now, you mentioned that there is a pattern and formula. So I want to go into that really quick, and you guys can chime in anytime you want.
Yeah.
But we'll dive into the character. So Fred, he's the leader. I guess he's seen as the leader, and he's the one who always wants to solve the mystery. He's like the determined detective. And then you have Daphne, who comes off a little, I don't know, what would you guys say? A little, she used to come off a little ditzy, maybe.
Yeah, I was going to say pretentious too, but maybe ditzy is a good word too.
Maybe, yeah. But then, you know, later on down the line when they redid a lot of her character, they put more backstory to it.
Yeah.
But she's danger prone. They call her danger prone Daphne. Yeah. You got Velma, the smart one, the intelligence analysis.
Mm-hmm.
Shaggy, who's the coward, who's motivated by hunger instead of actually solving the mystery. And then Scooby, of course, is just like Shaggy. They would always look for food, and Scooby would do anything for a Scooby snack. And they'd use that Scooby snack to pretty much bribe him to do things like check something out for them or go first into some dark whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It was, or it's for him to be bait. So the Scooby snack gave him courage or motivation or adrenaline, I guess, to do something.
We all just need a little Scooby-Doo snack every once in a while.
Yeah, I too am motivated by food and snacks. So.
Yes, exactly. Me too. I don't blame them. And then more so like of what the show goes on, I think you might know too, Shel, because you did a recent rewatch. But Shaggy and Scooby, I feel like they're always the first ones to spot the monster. And then sometimes the others don't really believe them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're always the first to, I feel like, that would be chased by the monsters too.
Mm-hmm.
Velma is always losing her glasses. You know, we know that. And then Fred typically is the one who designs the trap, which is pretty elaborate, actually kind of cool. I don't know if you guys remember the game Mousetrap.
Mm-hmm. I do. Yes,
yeah,
I sure
right?
do.
So I feel like it's always something cool like that. Like, man, do I want to kind of emulate this in real life? Does this work?
Like Mousetrap or like Home Alone booby trapping kind of.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. That's exactly. So he's the one who sets a trap. And then, of course, once the villain is catched and they're unmasked, the moniker line that they always say is, "And I would have gotten away with it, too, if it weren't those meddling kids," which I think when I rewatched it, I didn't really hear them say that much. Maybe once or twice, but that's become like the moniker Scooby line when any time the villain would get captured.
Yeah, I didn't notice that. And I only rewatched a handful of them. And I definitely didn't remember them saying that yet, but I'm sure that came probably later. They were probably trying to figure out that line.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And then as a viewer, you're never really given clues to like solve it yourself. You know how detective shows nowadays, they kind of give you clues and you kind of want to solve along with them, but you're just kind of along the ride with them. And then they reveal in the end and explain everything, which you've never seen, but they just somehow knew. But that is the show in a nutshell. So yeah, it's one of my favorites. I still love watching it today.
I love hearing that theme song. And I think it's, I don't know if it's because I was paying attention to it recently, but I think it's one of the few theme songs that you hear the full theme song in the beginning and the end. So if they have them back to back, you're kind of like, wait, are they ending? Are they, if you're not looking at the screen, you don't know if it's starting or ending. Other theme songs, they usually take a version of the opening theme song and just play it towards the end.
Yeah, you're right. I never noticed that, but you're right. They play the full theme song in the beginning and the end.
Mm-hmm.
Exact words, yeah.
Yeah, I noticed that too, and I didn't, same thing, Eddie. I was like, I don't know if this is starting or ending, I'm unsure, but it's the same exact song. But it was, yeah, still good, still super catchy.
All right, since we're talking about the theme song, want to dive into that?
Yeah.
All right, the theme music composer was David Mook Ben Raleigh. The composer was Ted Nichols. And season one, the song was performed by Larry Marx, and in season two, it was performed by Austin Roberts, and who's actually a 70s singer of the time.
Huh.
And I would say the genre is 70s bubblegum pop. I guess that's how you would, it's kind of like, you know, poppy, and that's how our good friend Google described it, bubblegum pop. But all right, so I will read the lyrics. Try not to sing the lyrics.
I'll move away from the mic for this part. Yeah.
Okay. Scooby Dooby Doo, where are you? We got some work to do now. Scooby Dooby Doo, where are you? We need some help from you now. Come on, Scooby Doo, I see you pretending you got a sliver. But you're not fooling me, cause I can see the way you shake and shiver. You know we got a mystery to solve, so Scooby-Doo, be ready for your act. Don't hold back. And Scooby-Doo, if you come through, you're gonna have yourself a Scooby snack. That's a fact. Scooby-Dooby-Doo, here are you. You're ready and you're willing. If we can count on you, Scooby-Doo, I know we'll catch that villain.
Wow.
All I heard was, I definitely heard singing in the back of my head. I thought you were initially going to start singing it.
I almost did. I was trying very hard not to sing it.
Yeah, the lyrics just take you there naturally.
I think it naturally makes you want to sing it too. Yeah. I mean, offline, you guys should read it out loud to yourself and see if this really, if you're really going to start singing it as you read it.
It's like an anthem for Scooby too. Like, mm-hmm. There's the Scooby snack to give him courage, but then I think the song is like the bigger push too. Like, it's let's do this. And then it has, the lyrics has the famous phrase that you hear throughout most of the episodes. It's the scream for Scooby, where are you? Like, and they do such a great job to take those lyrics of the song and bring it into the show.
It's perfect. It tells, it centers around Scooby too. And it almost as if, hey, they can't solve this crime or catch the villain without Scooby-Doo. And that's what they're looking for. And I think as you read each line too, we got some work to do now. Where are you? You know, we need some help.
We're too scared to do it for ourselves.
So. Yeah, like, yeah. You go first. You do it. Like, you lead the way.
You go, Scoob.
And, yeah. I don't know if you understood that pretending you got a sliver. Like, I was like, what does that mean exactly?
I was curious about that, actually. I was going to ask. But
yeah, I don't ever recall hearing that lyrics, but it makes sense knowing Scooby.
So I looked it up and it's pretending he's hurt. So pretending you got a sliver is like a cut. Mm-hmm. So, hey, I like, where are you? Come on. Oh, you're pretending you're hurt. You're not fooling me. I can see you are scared. You're shaking and shivering. So they're like, come on, we got to solve this mystery. Yeah. I'll give you a Scooby snack and we'll catch that villain.
That's the also like when, now that you just mentioned that, like that reminds me of those other iconic scenes with him and Shaggy. They have like this funny like shake effect on them and they even have the lines around them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I do, you know, looking back to the sound bites, not just even, you know, the instrumental sound bites, whatever it was, whether they were scared or running, like the chase sequences, it had a specific sound to it, which was really cool too.
I wish I could mimic that sound with my like mouth right now. I can't even.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know. I don't know.
When their teeth are chattering or something. And yeah. Like, yeah. I can't even. I can't do it.
And the chase sequences. Okay. So what, interesting fact, another fun fact, the chase sequences in season one were instrumental, but in season two, they actually added lyrics, and the guy, Austin Roberts, who sang the theme song for season two, composed and sang these chase sequence songs. So I wanted to bring this up because the chase sequences, you know, it's supposed to be scary, ominous type music.
Mm-hmm.
But in Scooby, it's pretty bubbly and poppy. Like, think of like the Beatles and the Monkees. I don't know if you know who the Monkees are, but yes. It's like that tune. And they're like, you know, it's like, oh, we're having fun. They're chasing us instead of like, oh, no, this is so scary. But I wanted to read some of the lyrics and one of the songs, which I guess some of these chase sequence songs appeared on an Ultimate compilation, like CD compilation in 1998. Yeah, it's pretty cool. So this episode, it's called Haunted House Hang-Up, and Velma, Shaggy, and Scooby are being chased by the Headless Colonel. The song, okay, imagine you're being chased, right? The song is called Love the World.
Love the World?
Love the World. And then it's like poppy and bubbly, and I'm gonna do this, and I hope we can cut it if it sounds
Love the World
funny, yeah. Or like, you know, but it starts off, it's like da 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 da, and it says, you've got to love the world, be a friend, And when you're down, you've got to get up again. And when you're blue, here's what you do. Just sing this happy tune. Come on now. And then goes, da 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 da, whatever. And it goes, talk to the sun. How do you do? I've got a problem and I'm counting on you. What he said pleased me. He said, happy is easy. Here's all you got to do. You got to love the world, be a friend. And when you're down, you've got to get up again. And when you're blue, here's what you do. Just sing this happy tune. I'm like, wow. Like, what a happy chase song.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, so he is being chased by a headless.
Yeah, they're being chased by the monster, the headless colonel in this episode. And they're, you know, running around. You know how Scooby is, yeah. And they go through rooms and go in and out and all that, zigzag.
Yeah.
So they're being chased by this guy, and this song comes on. And then I was like, this is interesting. So I watched the rest of season two to see what the chase sequences are, and they're all like that. It's pretty funny. You should go back and watch.
That makes sense too, right? Going back to, they intentionally wanted to reveal the monster being a human because they don't want to scare children away. So at a chase scene, normally chase sound have that like very dark tones and mm-hmm. like scary. They did the right thing to like not scare their audience away.
Yeah.
Except for Shelby.
Except for me. I don't recall those during the chase sequences. I feel like maybe I just blacked out because I was so scared. I don't know.
But yeah, I thought that was fun. And yeah, I love this theme song too. It just matches the show perfectly, especially for the time. Are you guys ready to play a game?
I'm ready more than ever. Yes. Can't wait.
Again, these fun facts were found from our good friend Wiki and Google. True, false. So I'm going to ask you and you tell me. True, false.
Okay.
Number one. I got 8 of them. Sorry. Number one. Scooby-Doo was originally supposed to be a sheepdog.
Sheepdog.
I'm going to go with true.
I can agree, right? I'm going to go with true as well. I think. Yeah.
That is true. Yes. And when they were coming up with the concept, so this is the funny part too. When they were coming up with this concept of the show, it was originally going to be called, in the concept, that part of it, Mysteries 5. And it featured 5 teenagers named Jeff, Mike, Kelly, Linda, and Linda's brother, WW, with their bongo playing dog named Too Much. And what it was is they were a rock group, and in between gigs, they would solve these spooky mysteries. Mm-hmm. But I guess they took it to the, when they went to pitch it, they had to change a couple things, and they changed the sheepdog to a Great Dane, but they were in fear that maybe it was a reminder like of Marmaduke. I don't know if you guys know who Marmaduke is.
The comic, dog. Right? Yeah.
The comic, yeah. But they were allowed to go ahead and proceed with it. So it changed to Scooby-Doo, where are you?
Could you imagine if they, Mysteries 5, right? So if they had Mysteries 5 to the tune of Scooby-Doo, like they can't, that doesn't have a good ring to it.
It absolutely changes the whole song. They'd have to rewrite it, I think.
Yeah.
Because it wouldn't really be about Scooby-Doo.
I know.
Unless it's the bongo playing dog Too Much, but.
Yeah. Or just about loving the world, maybe. Yeah. With Mysteries 5.
Okay. You guys ready for number 2?
Yes.
Shaggy's real name is Shaughnessy Rogers.
I say false.
I was just going to say true because maybe it's true.
It is false. Oh. Addie, you are right. Shaggy's real name is Norville.
Wow. Oh,
Shaggy Rogers.
I think I knew that. I should have known that. Okay. I just wanted to play devil's advocate on that one.
Yeah. It's good to be contrarian.
Yeah, you know?
All right, number 3. Scooby's full name is Scoobert Doo.
I say true.
I thought that was, I think that was false, but I'm going to say false.
It is true.
Ah!
Yeah. Okay. I think.
I'm not looking at her computer either.
No. Don't trust you. Look away.
I found that it was, some people were saying it was Scoobert Doobert, but they said, no, it's not Scoobert Doobert, it's Scoobert Doo. And the name was inspired by Frank Sinatra's song, Strangers in the Night. You know, the scat line where he goes, doobie doobie doo.
Oh, yeah.
So it was inspired by that.
Wow. Okay.
And number 4. The original title was Scooby-Doo and Friends.
I don't know. I don't know what the original title. I'm going to say true.
Oh, Addie, you're so good. It's false.
I'm saying, because you know why?
Okay, that, now like, are you looking at the computer?
I said false based off the other fact that you gave, that it was like the five.
Oh, well, true. That was the original concept.
Oh, concept.
No. It was okay. Original concept. I was going to
almost.
That's
where my head went. And I was like, well, she just told us a fun fact.
I was going to clarify just so that you didn't get confused and I could throw you off, but I didn't. You're smart. The original title was actually called Who's Scared? Like W-Dash Who's Scared? Mm-hmm. But the network thought it would be too scary for kids, so they changed it to Star the Dog and said, Scooby-Doo, where are you?
Yeah.
Don't use titles like Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Oh my gosh.
No. Which I still watched anyway, and I cried at night. No.
That one did scare me when I was a kid, though.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Number five. Frank Welker, the voice of Fred, started voicing Fred at 23 years old and has voiced Fred in every Scooby series except one. True or false?
Except for one.
I say false.
No, I think I want to say false on that one, too.
I got you, Addie. It is true.
Oh, what? Yeah. Wow.
The only series he hasn't voiced Fred was in A Pup Named Scooby-Doo. And I think that was in the 80s. But ever, all the other ones, he has voiced him.
Wow, I wonder what happened there with a pup.
Yeah.
Scooby-Doo.
Is he still around?
He's still around? All right. Number six. Velma's line, my glasses, I can't see without them. Came from the voice actress Nicole Jaffe actually saying that at the first table read.
That just sounds true to me. I want to believe that.
False. I'm going to say it's more of like a intentional script. Ooh. For like to play on the whole. This is where my head goes. Like where as a writer, you would want your most smartest person to lose sight or like the head. You know, the smartest person loses their insights on to help them solve the puzzle.
The answer is true.
It's true. Wow.
Yeah. The writers, like she was, I guess they were at the first table read and she actually said that. Well, my glasses, I can't see without them. And the writers wanted to leave it in there because they thought it was cute. All right. Number seven. Daphne appeared in the least amount of adaptations of Scooby-Doo compared to Velma and Fred.
Oh, I thought they were all like in the same.
I say false.
Yeah, I think I got to go false on that one too.
You guys are right. Ooh. Aside from Scooby and Shaggy, she appeared in more adaptations than Velma and Fred.
Oh.
Yeah.
Than Fred.
Yeah.
And
more than Velma and Fred.
I'm actually surprised with that.
Yeah. But...
And then the final one. In 1972, the Addams Family appeared in the one-hour episode of the new Scooby-Doo movies. True or false?
I want to say true to believe it.
Yeah, I want to say true. I think true.
It is.
Yes.
It is true. That was my connected dots and tie-in from last week. Do, 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 do.
Wait, you have to go back look to the us. First episode.
Yes. So you know I was connecting the dots.
Wow. That's
all I got, true or false. And I did forget one, but I want to say it because it's actually interesting. And you always don't have to say true or false. But I read somewhere that Casey Kasem, the voice of Shaggy, actually quit being his voice for a while because he was a vegan and he wanted Shaggy to be vegan, and Shaggy was in a Burger King commercial and he said, no, I don't want him to be in that Burger King commercial, so he quit for a minute.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, I didn't really know that Casey Kasem was the voiceover.
No, I had no idea. The original. Wow.
He was such a famous radio station guy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Go back and watch and see if you can recognize it. But yeah, that is his voice.
I feel like I'll be able to hear it now going back.
That's all I got.
Great work. This is fun.
Ooh, yeah, that was good.
I hope you enjoyed it.
I love the TV show. I was wondering, I have two questions for you, if like maybe you ran through it. Is Scooby based off of anybody's real dog, like any, or is it just the concept and they build him out based off of the storyline? Because you did mention it was supposed to be a sheepdog, or the concept was a sheepdog.
Yeah, I don't think it's based off any person's real dog. It was going off of the Archie comics back then.
Oh, yeah.
How there was a dog and they were trying to make it, if I remember correctly in reading and doing my research on our good friend Google here, I remember them when they were building the concept, they wanted something in the in between Josie and the Pussycats and Archie.
Mm.
So that's where they came up with Mysteries 5 concept, and then they fleshed it out to Scooby-Doo, Where Are You?
My other question was, like, I noticed Shaggy has these characteristics of a famous character that I really like and enjoy watching, which is The Tramp by Charlie Chaplin. Mm. And he has, like, the goofy shoes, the way he walks and everything. It very emulates the Tramp character of Charlie Chaplin, 20s and 30s. So I was wondering if you ever found anything like that, like he was intentionally written that way too.
You are somewhat close. It's in that area. So I read that they were inspired by Abbott and Costello.
Oh.
So kind of along that same lines, right?
This is really fun. Great work.
Thank you. Thank you. One quick reminder. At night, we wish upon the stars that we could play these theme songs, which require some stacks of cash, like Scrooge McDuck cash. So for now, we've included a Spotify playlist in the episode notes for you to hear the actual theme song. You know, a little extra on top of the amazing humming we just did.
It was fun to hop in the mystery machine back to memory lane. Let's do it again next week.
Yes. Yeah.
This means you must subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast app and follow us on Instagram to stay in touch for the in-between episode fun. The IG handle is Catchy Podcast. Catchy is brought to you by Shelby, Trina, and Addie.
And I would have gotten away with it too if it weren't for those meddling kids.
Zoinks! For whatever he said.
Zoinks! Ruh, ruh.
Yeah, ruh, ruh.
And I would have gotten away with it too if weren't those for blah. I messed up.
It wasn't for blah.
Oh, sorry. Hold on. Let me scratch that. Let me just do it over. I'm going to do it over. Let me do it over completely. Jinkies.